Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday night, you're listening to the West Texas Pitmasters Barbecue Show on Blog Radio. Daryl Mass is putting this on with Barbecue Superstars, and we want to give a big shout out to Daryl and thank him for allowing us to do this. And tonight we're going to have a good night, looks like. We're going to have Zach and Jay with Pitmasters Depot on, and I know that they've got a new some new exciting news and stuff. They've become one of our sponsors here a couple of weeks ago, and look forward to talking to them. And then later on the show, we're also going to have Bradley Price with Raider Red Meats out of Lubbock, Texas. They're putting on an IBCA sanctioned contest this coming weekend. And so we're going to talk to him just a little bit and kind of get that out there going a little bit more. And so look forward for everybody to join in, and we'll have a good night and talk a little barbecue and let's see where it goes. We've also, it looks like that IBCA, looks like that they've have a new board. They've posted the ballots and stuff, so looks like we have a new executive director, Lynn Shivers, and our new secretary is going to be Lori Griffiths. Treasurer is going to be Lori Blunt, and then at large is Angie Pruitt and Michelle Wade. And looks like that's going to be our new board, and look forward to working with them and seeing what the next few years holds. I believe that they'll be in office for the next 2 years, I believe is correct. I believe it's a two-year term. And so look forward to talking to them, and hope I get some of them on the show here pretty soon and see what they've got in and what new changes and stuff. You know, we've the website stuff's been under a lot of construction this summer, and it's really looking good. And it looks like they're getting pretty close to having it done. And so it looks great. So, you know, it's a work in progress. And, you know, anytime, you know, organizations stuff start getting larger and stuff like that, you've got to kind of move with the times, and they're working on it, and it just takes time. You know, IBCA right now is the second largest sanctioned body in barbecue out there, and so right behind Kansas City. And so it's getting big, and a lot of people are finding out about it, and more people are getting involved in it. And so, you know, sometimes you go through some growing pains, stuff like that, and it's just part of it. And so, well, we appreciate them putting it on and, you know, giving us the opportunity to, you know, be able to compete in barbecue and have a good time down here in Texas. So it's been great. Well, I think we got one of the guys in right now from Pitmasters Depot. So I'm going to go ahead and cue them in, and we'll get the show started.
Hey, Lance, how you doing? It's Zach Gilmore from Pitmaster Depot.
Hey, Zach, how are you, man?
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. So y'all are all still live after the grand opening this weekend?
Oh, yeah, it was good time. We did a lot of sales this weekend, had a lot of people come in and talk about barbecue, and that's what we want to do, is have some people come in and talk about barbecue.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's great. Well, that's good. I mean, that's good that y'all had a good turnout, and looks like you guys are making some headways there, and you know, that's great. I mean, so, you know, I guess it's been what, about, I guess about 2 months since we talked last on the radio.
Yeah.
So I know y'all had a lot of things going on and a lot of things blowing up, and so, and that's
right.
Good. So.
We got a new sponsor. His name is Lance Moore, West Texas Barbecue. So we're trying to roll things.
Absolutely, buddy. Well, I appreciate that. And you know, great things to come. Great things to come. And, you know, we'll keep throwing it out there, and we'll get things going. And appreciate it greatly.
Hey, no problem. Anytime. Anytime we can help out. Everybody who wants to barbecue, we try to help out those people who, I mean, me and my partner, Jay, he's not here today, but, you know, we both compete, and we both know how it is. We both start from the bottom, work our way up to the top, and, you know, we always look for sponsorship, and we're always willing to help out people who need sponsorship. So, you know, when you ask me to help you out with sponsorship, I have no problem with doing it, and I think it's for a good cause, and I think it's great that what you're doing. It's great. You got the blog radio going on, heading out those people in Texas and everything on the west side over there. I think it's a great idea, and I think it's awesome.
Well, thanks, man. Well, like I said, you know, the only way we can do it with guys like you guys, you know, coming in and supporting us and, you know, helping get it out there, you know, I kind of consider it the gospel anymore. You know, it's
yeah,
it's like anything else.
Yeah,
you know, only kind of fitting on Sunday night to have a little preaching, eh?
That's right. That's
so.
Right. Exactly.
So no, it is. It's a good thing, and you know, there's so many, you know, just you know, in the barbecue community. I mean, there's so many great things that you know, the barbecue does. I mean, you know, OBR and I've got some other guys hopefully are going to be on here in a week or two that Pitmasters for the Cure. It's another one coming up. They're doing a lot of cancer stuff. And, you know, when we get involved in a lot of, you know, I'm involved in a lot of cook-offs, stuff like that with cancer stuff. And, you know, it's good. I mean, you know, people don't realize that, you know, we're, you know, it's not just, you know, barbecuing and competing all the time. I mean, you know, there's a lot of community stuff that barbecuers do and you know, take care of people out there. And, you know,
well, that's
so,
what it is. It's just like a big old family. You know, if I have my family home and my barbecue family. If I know if I'm at competition, if I need something, then my barbecue family is going to help me out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, that is exactly right, you know, and that's, you know, that's a great thing. I mean, it's a great thing to be able to, you know, have that camaraderie and, you know, and be competitive, but yet, you know, when your brother over there needs something like that, be able to help him out and, you know, do things, stuff like that, shared. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of other sports, I don't think, that you'll find that, you know, people is willing to help out, you know, teams are as willing to help out each other as they are probably in barbecue, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, that is, I mean, it's a completely different thing. I mean, you know, just look at Facebook. I mean, you know, out of all the sports and stuff, I mean, what do you see? I mean, you know, barbecue seems to be, just what you said, I mean, there's a family of it, and you know, everybody can talk back and forth and share ideals and, you know, praise each other on their accomplishments every weekend, you know, when they have a cook-off, stuff like that, and I'm just
right.
A good to everybody. And, I mean, that's just, you know, it's great to be able to do those kind of things. It's great to be at a competition to that nature and to be able to do that stuff. And, you know, I'm very competitive, but, you know, I like to see my buddy's stuff and everybody else do good, too. So
exactly. The way I see barbecue competition, it's kind of like NASCAR. You might place first in one competition, and you might place last in another competition. It's all about how the judges like it.
That's exactly it. That's exactly
it.
You know, and
that's it.
Yeah. And, you know, I was a lot of my background stuff, I mean, I was in FFA through high school, and we judged and that end of it. And so, you know, when you come from that background and you see, you know, firsthand when you're judging animals or, you know, other stuff that, you know, there's always two sides to that story. And, you know, it's amazing some days, you know, the difference in opinion of, you know, product or anything else. I mean, how it works. And,
well, you're right.
You know,
I'll
it gives
you what,
different aspects.
I talked to a couple of judges today. And a couple of judges today were telling me they're at the store today, and they told me, like, hey, some judges like sweet, some judges don't. And it all depends on what judge you like, what judge gets your table. So.
And, you know, and that does, I mean, and that has so much. I mean, you know, it's like your tables and stuff like that. I mean, just right there. I mean, you know, you normally don't know your judges and stuff like that, but, I mean, you know, of course, you can kind of see, you know, age groups and, you know, other parts about that, and, you know, whether it's a bunch of women or it's, you know, mostly guys,
exactly.
You know, what kind
exactly.
of age group that they are. And, you know, if they're all kind of, you know, in your region and stuff like that, you kind of have an idea where maybe you want to be. Now, I mean, that's still up to that table captain, and the guy passed out the trays for getting that table right. But, you know,
right.
That's a whole...
I tell you what, what got me was the last competition I did. I was in Live Oak, and my chicken was 9.95, 9.95, 9.95, 9.95, all the way down to the last judge is 8 across the boards. I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? Everybody else is 9.95, 9.95, 9.95, and I get 8 across the boards. I know everybody there who's listening has been in that situation where you look at your score sheet and you look at all your scores and then you're like, oh, I scored good, I scored good, I scored good, I scored good. And all of a sudden you get that one judge is like 8 or, you know, and you're like, wow,
yeah.
Really?
What did I do? You know, and I mean,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
What caused it? I mean, yeah.
But the thing is, you just got to keep going the same game plan. You can't change it up.
Absolutely.
Got to keep going the same game plan, and then sooner or later, it'll hit.
Yep. No, that's exactly right. And, I mean, and the consistency is a key component in what we do. And, you know,
right.
That's a lot of my success is that if you stay with, you know, you can make some minor adjustments. You know, you don't want to get, you know, radical or anything like that. You can make a little minor tweak, you know, in a profile or something here and there, and you know, and just see. But for the most part, I mean, you know, I run off spreadsheets, and that's how I started out, and that's kind of how I've always done it. Most of my stuff is all by time, and it does. It makes a night and day difference. And it was hard for me to do something like that because I'm one of them kind of guys that, you know, I grew up cooking, and I grew up out west, and so we did a lot of, you know, cowboy cooking and that type of stuff. And so you just cooked. I mean, you just, you know, you seasoned it as you went. And when I first got married, my mother-in-law especially, she had asked me, she said, okay, what did you do here? What do you mean? Well, so how much of this, how much of that? To your liking. And she'd want to hit me every time about it. It's like, well, you won't be able to duplicate that. Well, yeah, you know, I just seasoned the taste. And, you know, she used to really give me a hard time about that because they'd want the recipe of something. I thought, well, it's a little of this, a little of that. And when I jumped into competition, I sat down and I wrote everything down, all my recipes down. And I have them all. I mean, they're all there. And that's what I go by. And it makes a night and day difference in the stuff that we do in this.
It does.
And, you know, and I think a lot of other people would be, you know, there's a lot of great cooks out there, but there's a lot of great cooks that cook just like I used to. You know, they just kind of, they cook as they want at each competition, and it's always different. And so they really don't have a gauge of where they're at or what they need to do or why they hit or they miss. You know, one weekend, you know, they're first. Next weekend, you know, they're nowhere. And, you know, we all try to shoot that average, I think. And, you know, as long as you're getting more calls than you're not, you know, as far as that end up, then, you know, you kind of leave your products alone. I mean, you know, and my theory was that, you know, especially if you're running in the top 10, you know, don't change anything because that's just the difference in your judges. And, you know, you'll never be able to outguess those judges.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So I guess now, it's a big store now that y'all have. I seen a little bit of pictures and stuff.
Yeah, we have a 1,000-square-foot store. It's a lot better than the location we had before. We were at West Shore Mall in Tampa at like a retail shop. It's like, you know, you go to the mall, see a kiosk. We had a location like that. We decided, you know, we were doing good there. Our rent was pretty high. Our payroll, we were making our payroll and everything. And, you know, we decided, like, it's a make or break it time moment. And we're like, look, either we're going to find our place or we're going to go ahead and quit the business. And we were looking around at different locations, and we came across a guy that I knew over there in Tampa area, and a guy with family knew and everybody. And he's like, look, I can get you this place right here. And we looked at it, and we said, you know what? I walked in. It was a shell. It was nothing but white building. It was white walls and a gray floor. And I looked at it. I was like, man, I don't think this is going to work. And then I talked to Jay, and we talked about it, and we decided, you know what, let's go ahead and make this our spot right here. So after 2 weeks of put paint and decor and on and everything like that, I was like, you know what, this is it. This is it.
There you go, man.
Yeah, and we are very thrilled about it, and our online sales are really great right now because our shipping prices are the best, and probably the whole business. I know if you order some other barbecue stores, you probably pay about $15-$16 for more shipping. Our shipping prices are a little bit cheaper. We can ship all the way to California less than $15 from Florida. We can ship all the way to New York less than probably $12. So we try to make our business based on customer service. My full-time job is it's a very customer service based business, and that's why I want to bring Pitmaster Depot as customer service, and me and Jay are all about customer service. He works a full-time job, I work a full-time job. We have somebody who works for us, and we just basically run a customer service. I mean, somebody, like if we order something and we don't have it in stock, no problem. We'll make sure we substitute with something else. And then after that, we'll ship the product they want for them. So I know it's been a situation where you want to order some product and we didn't have it in stock. I said, hey, check this out, and then I'll make sure I get it to you later on.
And I had everything by Wednesday. You know, I ordered that stuff on, I think, on Sunday. You sent me a message that, hey, man, you know, I'm out of that particular stuff, and, you know, what can I do? And, I mean, you hooked me up, and, I mean, I had both packages. I think, matter of fact, both the same day. I think Ted and them, and I think I had both on Wednesday, and, you know, and, you know, it was, that was phenomenal. You can't ask for any better service than that. And, you know, and because it was one of those deals, you know, I went to a contest, and I didn't realize that I was running as low as I was, and I went to that contest, and I'm doing some of my glazing and stuff, and it's like, oh, that's
right.
Oh, and I'm looking around like, oh no, and I'm thinking, oh, I got a big contest next week, and this just got a little backyard cook. I was like, oh, I'm in trouble, and like I said, I mean, I sent you that stuff Sunday, and I mean, man, I mean, it was perfect. And, you know, that's what I'll tell everybody. I mean, you know, that and just what you said, I mean, your shipping rates, I mean, $10, I mean, it's just, it is. That's pretty phenomenal out there because it does. I mean,
right.
And, you know, most of us, and that's the problem with a lot of it, is that, you know, we are smaller and stuff like that. And so, you know, we don't have the buying power, you know, through UPS and post office and all this other stuff to, you know, to get some of their, I guess, better rates, because I know other places, you know, in other industries and stuff like that, you know, as they get bigger and stuff like that, you know, they get some better deals. And, you know, I do the same thing when I'm shipping some stuff. And, you know, it's frustrating sometimes because, you know, you're buying a $5 or $6 bottle of something and, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, it's like, well, you know, $15, $16 and you're going, crud. And
right.
It is. I mean, it's just, it's nothing. Right. And, you know, that's part of that online thing. And, I mean, you know, anybody that's ever run an online store, you know, knows firsthand. I mean, by the time you start, you know, doing credit cards and all the time and effort and websites and security certificates and all the other stuff that you've got to do to, you know, to protect everything and, you know, get it out there. And then like I said, all your shipping rates and all that, get all that straightened up. It's that right there in itself can be a full-time job.
Oh, it is. Man. It is a full-time job. And I tell you what, Lance, probably about 80% of your people who do barbecue competitions have full-time jobs. And I mean, we both have full-time jobs. Me and Jay both have full-time jobs. We know what it is to have a full-time job and you do barbecue on the side. And
absolutely,
that's what we wanted to bring. We like, you know what, we'll make different to everybody. We wanted to bring, you know, number one customer service, number one shipping rates. Because we came to the point where we were paying, I probably paid last year, the year before I started this business and everything like that, I probably paid like $600, $700 in shipping, just in shipping. And me and him, he probably paid the same. We came to the point where, like, you know what, let's try to bring something closer. I mean, we're from Florida, so, you know, and then we were like, you know what, what can we do to help everybody else? And then we started coming up with some game plans, and then we were like, we were running with the game plans, and we said, all right, you know what, this is what we can do.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it does. I mean, it's great. I mean, you know, you guys have a lot of different stuff in stock. And, you know, of course, like I said, I mean, you know, we have some common stuff. I mean, like Oak Ridge, I mean, he's one of my big sponsors, Michael Trump. And, you know, and so, you know, even at that end of it there, I mean, it's great to be able to, you know, if I run into a snag or something like that, or, you know, Michael's gone or something like that, I mean, I can always fall back to you guys because y'all carry the same products and stuff too. And so, you know, that's just, you know, it's great. And, you know, you just
hang
you
on,
can't
Lance.
ask for much.
I got you. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So
you want now?
Hi, this is Rachel.
That was my dog. She wanted to say hi to you. She's like, "Dang, who are you talking to?" I was like, "I'm on the phone right now."
Yes, I have one of them too. She comes out and joins me a lot of times, and you know, I've got a 9-year old, and she's gotten very involved in the barbecue system. So.
That's
or talking
good.
To people or and everything. She's in it. She's doing a little bit of kids competition stuff now. And
right.
You know, that's it. I mean, that's the other part of that right there that I love about barbecue.
That's
is
it.
You know, I hunted and I did a lot of that stuff. And, you know, my wife and daughter was never really, you know, all that interested in that. And, you know, and so sometimes you feel guilty, you know, you're running off during deer season. It's like, well, I've seen you about 3 months. And, you know, you didn't have you couldn't really share it with them. And,
right.
You know, my whole family and my wife and daughter, and everybody loves to cook in our house. I mean, so, you know, most of the time our TV is on, you know, Food Network or it's watching
Barbecue
Pit Masters, you know,
something like that.
There's always something like that on. And, you know, everybody likes it. They all get involved in it. And so, I thought, you know, it'd be a great way to get everybody involved and, you know, the family could go and do that kind of stuff. And now, you know, they get tired of barbecue. And when I say, you know, let's have barbecue tonight, they're like, maybe we should pass on that. But it is. It's a great thing. And they've supported me and, you know, my wife's family. I mean, you know, they come to most of our competitions and stuff, and everybody hangs out and has a good time and visits and fellowships and stuff. And it's just, you know, like I said, it's just one of those things. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of stuff out there that you can have that kind of fellowship and involve families and stuff like that. And, you know, young, old, or whatever, you know, they can play a part in it. They can participate in it. And, you know, that's a great thing about the sport. It just
right.
Is. And I guess that's, you know, become a lot of the passion. And, you know, a lot of people are passionate about cooking and stuff like that. And that's just, you know, it's near and dear there. I mean, and, you know, heck, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. Matter of fact, I've been a, working on doing some bending and stuff like that, and so I think we're fixing to start doing some of that end of it. And,
yep.
And you know, it's just, you know, it kind of goes along with it, and you know, so you know, just another step there. And you know, one of these days, that may be what I'm doing is cooking full time. You know. You
well,
know,
that's what we all hope for. I tell you that. I mean, like I said, I work a full time job. I'm ready to put my slip in and say, hey, I'm ready to retire sooner or later.
Yes. Yes, sir. You know, and that's why I've been in the heating and air industry for 24 plus years and you know, it's a great industry and stuff like that, but you know, you get to that point that, you know, it's one of those, you know, it's a very physical job too, and you get to that point, it's like,
right.
Okay. You know, I'm not that 20-year-old out there anymore. You know,
I remember those days.
Yeah, bulletproof. I mean, it didn't matter.
Exactly.
Like,
uh huh.
And now you kind of get up, you roll around, things creak and pop. It's like, oh man. And,
yeah.
It is. I mean, you know, and so you got to start looking at those things, and you know. Not to say that, you know, barbecue is a lot of work. I mean, it's some of the most labor-intensive stuff that we'll ever do. I mean, and anybody that ever comes to a competition and watches what goes on, you know, you're busy. I mean, there's something to do all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I say, do not call me past 2 o'clock. My wife knows. Because I know our turn-ins last time were 2 o'clock. I don't know about there out in Texas. But after 2 o'clock is our last turn in. I tell my wife, I say, do not call me past 2 o'clock on Saturday. If I'm at a competition, do not call me.
That's
so,
it.
That's it. I'm like game mode, everything like that.
Yep.
But you know what? I would not be where I'm at if I didn't have support from her.
Absolutely.
Pretty much, she gave me the most support, and I tell her every day. I was like, look, when my daughter turns 4, she can be in the kid tournament. She'll be doing the kid cook-offs and all that. So.
And that's it. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, and it does. It takes a lot of support. I mean, my wife puts up a lot. I mean,
a lot of late nights.
and crap flying everywhere. And you guys, of course, y'all are in Florida, too. So, you know, we're out here in West Texas, and it's hot. And this year we've been kind of humid. And so, you know, sometimes it'd be just
right.
miserable. And you're sitting out there, you know, leaning over a 300-degree pit going, man, what am I thinking?
Yeah,
you know,
I can tell you what, I was at Live Oak a couple weeks ago doing a competition, and I turned the water on, and my trailer, we don't have a hot water heater or nothing like that. I turned the water on, we run a water hose straight from the spigot, and it was hot water. I had like hot water for like 20 minutes. I'm like, really? What am I doing out here?
That's it. That's exactly it. I mean,
that's it.
You know, you'll sweat. I mean, you'll be tired. I mean, you'll be dirty. Where we're at out here, we get a lot of dirt, you know, because it's just kind of wide open. And, I mean, you'll have dirt in every orifice, everywhere. And, I mean, you just feel grungy. And if it's out there, and I mean, or, you know, we have a lot of winter here. And, you know, you may be out there freezing your butt off. I mean, I've literally, when I first started cooking, I went to a contest. Oh, it was like in February or March one year, and it was snowing. And we didn't get there till about 9 that night, and it was cold, it was wet. And I got the girls checked into the motel, and I go out there, and, you know, everybody's trying to get stuff going, and I'm getting things going. And before the night's over with, I mean, I'm almost underneath my firebox. I'm huddled up with my coveralls on, coats. And, you know, that was before I had a guru on my deal. So I'm sitting there, I'm just, you know, I'm feeding it half the forest, keeping things hot. And I'm going, oh, I don't know about this. I don't know if we're going to make it. And then, you know, next day you get through it and, you know, you have a good day. And it's like, let's go next weekend. You know, I'm ready to do it again. And that's it. I mean, but, you know, just some of the extremities that you go through and stuff. And, I mean, of course, you guys, like I said, with all the humidity and stuff, y'all have done that way. Woo! That hurt us Texas boys. So, it is. It's a great thing. And, I don't know if there's a better sport out there. And
that's right. That's right.
So, but no, that's good. I mean, so are y'all open? How many days a week are y'all actually, is the store physically open?
We're open from Tuesday through Sunday. We're closed on Monday. And we're open from 10 to 7 about every day. Sometimes we take off early for Sundays and Wednesdays. And right now we have our sweet smoke. Have you tried the sweet smoke out?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. That is that's a cool product. You know, of course, like I said, you know, we've talked a little bit about that. You know, we don't do as much pork down here. And so I'm always looking for excuses. But this vending deal, actually, that I'm fixing to partake in, they do it's got they do probably 4 or 5 bucks a weekend, and I may be using a lot more of it because I mean that's one nice thing about it is it's easy to do.
That's sweet smoke is good stuff right there. It's I tell you what, guy over here, Jim Elser from Sweet Smoke Q in Winter Haven, local boy from us, and he invented this injection that, I mean, a lot of people have been using it over here in FBA and scored very well with pork injection. And right now we have it on sale for 20% off. So instead, I think instead $8.99, no, instead $7.99, you can get it for $6.40. And right there on the website, it's www.pitmasterdepot.com. And it's very, very good stuff. I know a couple of teams came up to us and saying, man, this stuff is unbelievable. And I know they came up to Jim Elser and told me it's unbelievable. And also, actually, we're having a port class from Jim Elser. Jim Elser is going to be teaching a port class at a store next week. So if you got anybody listening in Florida or anybody wants to learn how to do port, let us know. We have a port class coming up next week.
Well, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Seeing that, and that, I mean, you know, that's the other thing is that, you know, to be able to get around, you know, experienced guys cooking and stuff like that and have classes and stuff like that, you know, that's a great thing to, you know, help other people out that want to get involved in sports and stuff like that. And, you know, and I imagine you guys get just a lot of people that like to cook in their backyard, but they'd like to know a little bit more about cooking. And
exactly.
You know.
That's what we want to do. We want to bring to Tampa, like, back. We want to take a professional cook level to Tampa and show them how to cook professionally in their backyard. We're going to have Boston Butts in the teaching class, and we're going to teach about pork loins, pork chops, and just your everyday meat that you cook every day.
Well, and that's exactly right. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, you guys have a little bit more backyard-type cooking than we do. We really don't have the segregation.
Y'all got the brisket over there.
Yeah, we have briskets over here. We have beef briskets. And,
a lot of briskets.
We like beef. And but, you know, you guys kind of have, you know, y'all have backyard divisions and then your professional divisions and stuff like that. And in Texas, we really don't differ. I mean, everybody pays a entry fee, but there's, you know, you're all lumped into one class. I mean, and so, you know, technically, if you're out there competing, I mean, you're if you're backyard cooking, it's your first cook. You're out there, you're cooking with all the seasoned guys too. And you know, we see a lot of that, and I've seen this year. One of the big things that I've noticed is that, you know, just that right there, and, you know, all the information and all the products and stuff getting out there and everybody doing this stuff and all the networking and stuff, is that even those backyard guys, you know, sometimes, you know, we may go into a 100-team contest and it'll be a backyard guy that wins the whole thing. And it's getting pretty amazing on, you know, first-time cooks and stuff like that. We had one last weekend that 62 teams, matter of fact, it's Mo Kaysons have been, you know, hanging out in Texas quite a bit, especially West Texas. And he's got some friends down in Midland, Texas, that he hangs out with and runs around with. And so he called in a couple weeks ago and he said, hey, you know, our friends, they're going to come up. It's going to be their first cook at y'all's contest. And I've been kind of down here, you know, coaching them and stuff like that. Well, lo and behold, they come in and they whipped our butts. They won the whole thing, and I'll sit there thinking, oh, thanks, Mo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, but, I mean, it was great. I mean, it got them involved in it, and, I mean, you know, to walk out of something like that, I mean, a 62-team contest, and, you know, to win it's your very first contest you ever cooked in, it's like, wow. So, you know, people wonder about cooking schools and things like that, stuff like that. You get stuff from professional cooks and stuff like that cooking. There's a lot of valuable information there, and it can make a big difference, save you a lot of time. And, you know, it's just wow. And, you know, I guess that's kind of where I wish we were at a little bit more. I wish we had a little bit more of the, you know, the backyard side and, you know, versus the professional side, because there's a lot of guys that just want to, you know, they want to go out there and have a good time, and
yep,
they want
exactly
to cook. But, you know, they don't want to be involved in all the other politics or, you know, whatever you want to say about it.
Right.
And, you know, they just want to come out there and have a good time and do it. And, you know, sometimes there is some difference, you know, in our cooks and stuff like that. You know, you have the guys that want to come out, they're more interested in more of a tailgating weekend. and they want to come out and have a good time and fellowship, and there's nothing wrong with that. And then you have the guys out there that's very serious about it, very passionate about it. And so when they're, you know, the party's going on at 4 o'clock in the morning next to you, and you're, you know, that was your 2 hour window to get a little shut eye, and you're going, okay, boys.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
You're right about that. We do, over there at SBA, we do have a backyard, and we do have a pro division. And they normally separate the backyard from the pro division. So I tell you what, the pro division party as much as the backyard division sometimes.
Well, I mean, that is true, too. I mean, you'll have those weekends, too. I mean, that's mm-hmm. exactly right. And, you know, we're doing one at, we've got a big cook next weekend at Texas Tech University. And
awesome.
You know, everybody's moving in this weekend. And I have a sneaking suspicion that we're going to have a little tailgate and a lot of stuff like that. And it's probably going to be one wild weekend next weekend because we're going to be on campus.
Man, I sure do wish I could make that. That would be sound like a great event.
So, matter of fact, we're going to have Bradley on, Bradley Price, here in a little while. He's supposed to call in, and we'll get you introduced to him and stuff, too. They run a meat science lab at Texas Tech, and they're kind of the same deal. He come out of the I believe he was an animal science major, and he went to work for here in Plainview for years. For like 40 years, we had a beef packing plant here.
Right.
And most of these guys, when they got out of school and stuff, that's where they'd end up. They'd intern and stuff at, like, Excel up here. And so a lot of these guys have a lot of knowledge about meats and all that end of it. And he ended up, matter of fact, had a little bit of a little cook joint here for a while and ended back up at Tech in the animal science department. And they opened up a meat deal to kind of fund scholarships and different things. And so they're meat science people. They have their lab. They produce their meat and all that end of it. He dry ages and, you know, does lots of different things. And then they sell it. They have a store that's open and stuff. And so you can buy, you know, prime, you know, dry aged briskets and all that end of it. And, you know, it's a great deal. And it, like I said, you know, it goes to helping out their students and stuff like that. It's a great thing. And so he puts on a contest every year. And but he's got lots of knowledge about, you know, dry aging and, you know, just, you know, all aspects of meat and stuff like that. And so we'll get him on here in a little bit and get you guys introduced. And
that'd be great.
And, you know, it's just, you know, another one of those parks. And I mean, that's, you know, the other side of that is, you know, people don't realize how much precision and I don't know how to say it, but, you know,
it's all about
crossing
technique.
Over in different areas that, you know, you're talking about products, you're talking about flavor profiles,
right.
You're talking about your meats and how the proteins break down and how your
right.
fats and all that work. And, you know, there's a lot of science to it.
And if you look at our website, we got from phosphates to rubs to sauces to marinades. And we pretty much cover everything you need for barbecue competition.
That's right.
I mean,
and
we pretty much cover everything because, you know why? Because we know what they want because we compete in these competitions. And,
absolutely.
And like I said, me and Jay started this because we are both competitors, and we know exactly what everybody's looking for. So we went out and got all the phosphates. We went out and got all the rubs they're looking for, all the marinades, all the sauces. We now are starting to carry, I don't know if you heard of Head Country, but we're now starting to carry Head Country. We're going to be putting in Budmeister's. We got Budmeister's rub coming in, and they're local for it, boy. And all we're doing is every week trying to get better and better product. So we're just trying to get better product for everybody. So that way, you know, you come to the store, you can hang out, chill, and, you know, you can just talk barbecue. And that's what we want. We don't want you to come in there and just hang out, you know, pay for your stuff and leave. We want you to come in there and say, all right, what can I do? And you can always call us on cell phones. Our cell phones are on the website. So if you got any questions about barbecue, you can always call us. And we will talk about you about barbecue. So, I mean, you just don't have to pay for it on a website. Say, hey, look, I bought this product. You know, you just buy a product, you don't know what to do with it. But if you call us and you're like, hey, man, I just bought this product, I don't know what to do with it. Well, we'll help you with that. We'll let you know what to do with it. So we want to make sure customer service is number one in our book.
Well, like I said, you're number one in my book, and, you know, y'all have, I mean, and you guys are, you know, even like a lot of Texas stuff in that end of it, and I was going to kind of go through some of that. I mean, you guys
right.
are carrying Cosmos. Of course, you've got all Craig Sherry's pepper jelly products. I mean, and those
right.
are just,
yep.
you know what about it?
Candy. Yeah, I know. Y'all like that Texas Rick candy. I know that.
It's a great thing, you know. Last weekend they had an open division for margaritas.
Wow.
So you know, I'm sitting there. By the time I get there, you know, and everything, I'm kind of rushed about it. And so I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, okay, you know, what I want to do for margarita. And so I had some, you know, strawberry margarita mix and some tequila, and I'd gotten some frozen strawberries and you know things. And so I'm sitting there, and I thought, man, I want to kick this up a notch. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm looking in my little bag of tricks, and I see rib candy. And a matter of fact, I used his new black cherry grape rib candy.
Yes,
I'll
fix it and order that. I heard good things about it.
Oh, it's great stuff. And, I mean, bam, second place margarita.
You can't beat that.
I was like, hey, there you go. And everybody's like, man, that's good. It's got a, you know, at the end of it, it's got a little bite. And, I mean, it wasn't hot or anything, but it's like.
Is it made with habaneros or?
Yeah, it was with the habanero.
The habaneros in it?
Yeah, and everybody's like, what is that? That's good. What is that? And I was like, they're probably listening to that. I'll probably be done next year. But, but you know, it was. I mean, it was just one of those little things, you know. I thought I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, and it kind of goes down the line. I mean, it's a simple syrup in a lot of aspects. And I thought, you know, that ought to blend well. And, man, it did. I mean, it was there. It was spot on. And, well, you know, I'm going to tell Craig, you know, it's like, hey, buddy, you know, I've entered you into the margarita field now, you know. A lot of guys over here use it on the ice cream. You know, I think he's got an apple cinnamon, and a lot of guys they put it on their
really?
Ice cream. Yes. And so,
oh,
you know, there's another aspect of that, you know, it's not just for your barbecue. I mean, you can put it on your ice cream, you have it in your margarita. You can do a lot of stuff with it, buddy. And, so yeah, it is. It's a good product, and you know, it's kinda always in our ammunition case per se, and
right.
So y'all are in the head country.
We got Budmeisters, and we got Cosmos. We got Butchers. We got Slappy Daddy from Harry Sue from KCBS Pitmasters. We have 3i. We have Butchers sauce also. We have very variety of different products that people use, and different kind of flavor profiles.
What kind of injectors do y'all carry? Do y'all carry any injectors?
We are working on right now getting another line of injectors, some of the high-duty injectors. We've been looking at the Meyer mix injectors. We've been looking at other injectors and being wholesale suppliers. But looking into it right now, we just have, like, your regular injector do by your hand. But
right.
It's been a work, and we're thinking about it. You know, we've been thinking of other companies we're working with, so.
Well, you know, Dan, I don't know if you've met him or not, Dan U-Haul, he has a chop power injector system, and
mm-hmm.
I got one from him here a while back, and it's a 4-needle, or it can, you know, you can, of course, you can change your needles out how many you want, and it is an awesome injector. Oh, it is just bad to the bone. And
really?
Yes. I'll send you a link to him.
Definitely.
I know.
Go ahead and give him his info, and we go ahead and talk to him in the shop.
It works good. It's easy to clean out. He put, you know, he's got cleaning ports and stuff on it, and Chris Chadwick, I believe he's using it now. And
Kansas City Barbecue Store?
It's through Kansas City, his actual website.
Yeah, I think I've seen that before. We actually talked to him before.
BarbecueKansasCity.com is what it is. Chewy
yep.
Barbecue. And
exactly. Yeah, we actually looked at that.
And and I know he's working on a few other things on that end of it. And man, you talk about inject a brisket or a butt. But
yeah.
I mean,
it's four needles in it, right? Four needles.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and the nice thing about it is he sends you deals to where, and I didn't realize it at the time, we were talking on the radio here a few weeks back, is that, you know, he sends you some plugs that you can take off the other needles and you can plug them. So, like, if you're just doing a chicken or something like that, you can just run the one needle.
Wow.
And so, I mean, it's got a lot of universal in it. But, I mean, you know, I'll pull that thing out at a competition, and, I mean, and everybody will be standing around looking like, could I inject a brisket in about,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm 30, 60 seconds, and I'm done. And
wow.
Oh, wow, that's bad. Oh, that is cool. I was like, you know how much time this right here saves. And, I mean, you get good penetration. It get really good even distribution. In fact, I hadn't seen any staining or anything anywhere. It's been phenomenal. And so, you know, he's got a pretty neat little product out there. And the other nice thing about it, it's easy to clean. And, you know, that's with a lot of that stuff is sometimes, you know, it's so daggum hard to clean. It's a pain in the butt. You know, matter of fact, you were talking about Myron today, and I was watching that smoke challenge when him and Michael were having problems with his, and, you know, the filter stopped up on it.
Yeah.
Hey, look like he was going to kill somebody. And, but those are those nice things about it is that you see guys that even at that level, some days they don't have the greatest day, and they have problems with malfunctions with equipment.
That's
like,
right.
I don't feel so bad now.
You know what? I went to a competition one time, and it was probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't see this guy all night long. 2 o'clock in the morning, he shows up. He throws a pop-up tent and a grill and walks away with 5th overall against us. I didn't see this guy all night long. I'm like, man, this guy all of a sudden, like, I was like, man, whose spot is this? And then all of a sudden, this guy shows up with a pop-up tin and a grill, like a tow-away grill he got from Sam's. And sure enough, he kicked my butt and kicked everybody else's butt, walking around 5th overall. So you can never underestimate those other guys.
No, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, them guys are. I mean, they're where they're at for a reason. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, you know. And, of course, you know, they see things like, you know, where him and Michael are competing against each other, you know, and Myron's got pretty much an entourage now. And
mm-hmm.
But, you know, he did start out that way. And,
no,
you know, people forget that they start out in the field and they learn all that stuff and they're actually doing it. But, you know, what everybody sees nowadays is they think, well, you know, a lot of people are like, man, he's just kind of a butt. You know, he's got all these other people doing everything. Well, you know, with time, you know, that counts.
Well, you know,
and,
the best thing I ever heard Myron Mixon say was that, the best slogan I ever heard him say was that, you know what, you see me out here doing all this, but you never see what I'm doing in the backyard at my house, everyday cooks, everyday practice. You guys don't see that. That's exactly right. You know, you got to practice. You got to do your test runs at the house. Everybody does test runs at the house. So if you're not doing no test runs, then you really can't compete in a level where you want to be at if you don't practice. The more you practice, the more perfectionist
you
get.
That's it.
Yep.
And that is exactly right. And, I mean, you know, I kind of have a fortunate deal with some of my coworkers and my neighbors and stuff like that, you know, they want barbecue and they're willing to pay for barbecue. And, they're willing to allow me to experiment to some degree on them. And so, you know, I can do little minor tweaks and stuff with products and things like that. And, you know, they get great barbecue, but it also gives me an opportunity to tweak my little things here and there and to try a few little different things and, you know, have it, you know, bounce off other people. And, you know, it's kind of like I went to a little cook-off about 20 miles from here a couple weekends ago. And it was a backyard cook. It was just a bunch of local guys coming out. There were about 10 of us. And it was a $50 entry fee, but they gave you 2 briskets and 3 racks of ribs.
Wow.
Well, I can't practice at my house for that. And so it's like,
you can't beat that.
So I was like, I'm going to practice this weekend, you know. And, you know, everybody's like, well, you're going to win. I said, well, yeah, you always go to win. But more than anything is that they were going to, it was an unsanctioned deal. So they were giving comments and stuff back. I think we got a third in brisket and like a fourth in res. And, you know, I bounced off a couple of different, you know, recipes and played a little bit of it. And for $50, yeah, you can't beat that. I was like, man, I wish you guys would have more of these kind of things because you get around unbiased people that's giving some feedback. And, like I said, probably $150 worth of meat. You know, I'm getting to experiment on for $50. So you just can't beat it. And I like those kind of things. And just what you said, I mean, the more you practice, the better it will be. And that's
right.
You know, or, you know, and like I said, I mean, you find those things. You find those things that don't work and you bounce things off. You know, it's like my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law is very valuable as far as my barbecue team because he's my taste tester. He turns in my trays 90% of the time, and I can look at his face. I mean, you know, we'll cut ribs, you know, and I've got a pretty good idea when I'm cutting them, but I can watch the expression on his face when he bites into the rib where we're at. I'm like,
right,
we're going to have a good day, or it's like, well, crap. That wasn't so good. Dang it. You know.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, he'll be brutally honest about it. Like, you know, that's not the best. That's not the best we've had. Or that's better than most. Or, you know, hey, I think, you know, we may need another 15 minutes on them, you know, put you up to time. And, that's what I need because, you know, so many people, and then one of my big deals was that, you know, if I'm tasting my own barbecue, and especially at the last minute, a lot of times I go to, you second guess yourself. And sometimes you do more damage to yourself doing that than you do good. Sometimes you need to leave it alone and submit your product. But you'll taste something that's like, oh, man, it needs a little bit of this, it needs a little bit of that, and so you'll twist it a little bit, and you'll shoot yourself in the foot. And so I don't taste anything until after it's turned in. After it's turned in, then I can't mess it up.
That's same here.
So, you know, like I said, you know, back to that. I mean, you know, I rely on, you know, family and stuff like that a lot on that end of it. And, you know, that's what makes it. I mean, it really is. I mean, you know, we lean on those kind of people. And, the thing about it is, you know, he takes most of all the barbecue left over. He takes it home. He's a bachelor. And so, you know, I'll send it with him. He'll freeze it. And he'll tell me, say, you know, hey, you know, I ate such and such brisket from back in, you know, such and such contest. He labels everything. He's a nuclear engineer. And so he's very, you know, very precise about things that he does and stuff. And so he'll say, yeah, you know, that brisket we had at Homer's. I ate that the other day. And this is, you know, it's what I think about it. And so it's like, really? Okay. And so he's kind of my R&D in a lot of ways. So it's good, man. It's good. But no, there is. There's so many aspects of it. And it's just it's an endless deal. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, we can spend 24/7, you know, dealing with barbecue, you know, on a competition side, not counting, you know, what you guys do and of course, all the product research that you guys do and all the feedback stuff that you guys get on what to carry and what not to carry. And that's a daunting task right there because, you know, there's so much stuff out there now.
Well, yeah, and plus we implement something where, you know, you want to buy that high end grill, right? But you might have like a stick smoker at your house, right? And you're
right.
Like, oh man, I can't sell the stick smoker. Well, we also implement where, all right, you give us a stick smoker, we'll sell it for you. You just post it up in our website. We're gonna probably post it up on our website, and then we're gonna post it up in the store, and then we'll sell the stick smoker for you, and then you can buy a high-end grill that you want also. So that way you take that used grill you have in the house, been sitting there for about 5 years, and you can't get nothing rid of it. Well, we'll try to sell it for you, and that way you can get a high-end grill. So we'll take a used grill, and we'll get you a brand-new grill.
Well, and yeah, and I mean, that's a great thing because, I mean, everybody that's coming in there, they're looking too, and sometimes, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, they're wanting to get started out and
Yeah.
Yeah. They ain't got the money to go out there and buy the Jambo or the Lang or, you know, whatever, you know, to start off with. And so, you know, they can hit something like that and get kind of started, get something underneath them, and then, you know, go. And, yeah, man, that's a great thing. And I hadn't thought about it like that. I mean,
yeah,
everybody's coming in.
Hey,
I mean,
hang on, man.
Okay.
She wants to say goodnight to everybody. Come here.
Hello.
Good night. Thanks for coming on our show.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'll probably be running the operation here before long.
I'll tell you what. You see that already.
You said she's 4?
She's 3.
3. Wow. Wow. Well,
hey,
yeah. I may need a co-host here pretty soon on my show. So,
hey, she can help you out.
Hey, there you go. I mean, my daughter gets a little bashful. She, you know, she'll hang around, but she's kind of always, you know, just kind of sitting in the background on a lot of that. She don't talk a lot, so.
Right.
She's kind of like me. I mean, when they got me involved in this, I was like, gosh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure about this. You know, back to FFA, when I was in FFA, I had an ag teacher that, took a liking to me, and he made me do a lot of stuff I didn't want to do. You know, he made
me
do parliamentary procedure, you know, be in those contests and do some public speaking and be an officer, and I'm like, oh, no, I really don't want to do that. You know, I'll let me go back to the welding shop. I will weld. You know, I'll do all this other stuff, but I really don't want to do that. And he's like, nope, you're going to do it. And I expected that of you. And I was like, oh, I mean, I was terrified, and I feel that way. I mean, even, you know, in college, I mean, I had to take, you know, public speaking, and I took an online version of it just because I didn't want to have to stand up in front of them. But one of the hardest things I had ever did was stand in front of a camera and talk for 5 minutes. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, this is terrible. And, you know, the first night that I did this, my first show, I was talking for about 5 minutes, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life to talk. Because you feel like you're talking to yourself, and you're just, you know, sitting out here just kind of rambling, and you're like, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do this or not. I don't know that I can sit here. You know, some guys can talk, you know, the whole night without even having anybody on and stuff. And, you know, have a great show. And it's just not me. I mean, I have to have, you know, guys come on and, you know, we can talk about barbecue and I enjoy the fellowship of that end of it too, but I'm not that kind of personality that, you know, I can just sit there and be talking about barbecue on my own for 2 hours. And so it's been an interesting concept. It kind of brought me out of my box a lot. And, you know, I hadn't heard a lot out of Daryl since I started this. I think we're in about...
Well, I tell you what, Lance, you got something going on. I like what you got going on. I think it's a great idea, great opportunity. I think the blog radio station is great to get everybody who out there who wants to just talk about barbecue, you know? I mean, everybody wants to talk about barbecue. Everybody's their own cook in their house. You know, there's always go to somebody's house and they're cooking. You know, I don't say nothing. I mean, it might be some bad ribs. I mean, it might be the worst ribs I ever eat. I'm not going to say nothing bad about it because I'm at their house and Yeah, that's what it is. It's about backyard barbecuing. Everybody likes to barbecue.
Well, and yeah, and I mean, you know, and how you do that. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, because I've had, I mean, you know, you're older with your friends, and I mean, they're cooking out,
yeah.
And I mean, you eat that, and you're going, oh, wow, you know, and you leave, and it's like, oh, that
yeah,
was
you,
bad.
Yeah, I went to a buddy of mine's house a couple of weeks ago. We were there, and we were not, I guess we got caught track of the time, and actually, the ears come out black, and I'm like, oh, Lord. Oh, he's like, how you thinking about the ribs? Because they know I don't barbecue. Like, man, what you thinking about the ribs? Like, man, it's some good ribs. I mean,
yeah.
What can you say? I mean, you can't tell them, like, oh,
yeah.
Man, that's some bad ribs. You know?
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
everybody loves the barbecue.
You know, and that's it. I mean, and that's the thing is, you know, and so, you know, that's when you invite them over the next time and you do ribs.
Yeah.
And
right.
They're like, you know, and then when they go home, they're going to go, holy shit, did you change these things? Yeah, those were off the chart. Hey, you know, and then that, you know, that does. I mean, the next thing you know, your buddy's like, okay, you know, hey, you know, what do I need to do here? And, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, because it is. I mean, last thing in the world you want to do is hurt somebody's feelings or something like that. And, I mean, heck, I mean, I've cooked stuff in my life that, you know, I'm sitting there going, you know, people are eating. I'm going, oh, that's not good. And they're like, oh, that's so good. And like,
oh,
liar.
Yeah.
Y'all
I've been at competitions, and I know one competition, I was like, oh, man, these are the worst rib box I ever turned in. I could be sitting there and like, oh, man, it's the worst rib box. And the next thing I knew, I take second place. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. You know, and that's kind of like, you know, it was like my deal last weekend, you know, I had tweaked a little bit, and I mean, I've been using one brand of chicken since I started, and this year I got into a situation that they're bringing in smaller chickens, because we do have chickens over here.
Really?
And, you know, yes, I mean, in Texas competition, you do a half a chicken, and, you know, so you're having, the, you know, kind of the Andy Hill kind of thing, Randy Hill, you know, you've seen that on Pitmasters where he turns into half chicken. Well,
right.
That's where he come from is because he's an IBCA boy. And so that's what we do in IBCA and in Lone Star is we turn in half chickens. And so that's kind of where that thing come from. And, you know, you're sitting there, and, I mean, it's something hard to cook. I mean, you're not just dealing with a thigh. Or, I mean, you're dealing with white meat. You're dealing with
dark meat and white meat.
And you, I mean, you're having to deal with it. And so, when I first started, I went to a fresh chicken, and man, I was having just great luck. And I mean, you know, their chicken sizes were pretty consistent. You know, just everything was going good. Well, this year, I started getting the chickens, and they just keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, in my cooking process, you know, I had it kind of based off a certain size chicken. And so I'm sitting here, and, I mean, it's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and I'm going, gosh, this is terrible. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so I found another source that had a natural chicken that I tried. And, you know, they're back up to, you know, I'm probably about 2.5 pounds on a half. And so, you know, they'll handle the heat and that end of it. And, man, they just, I turned some in this weekend, I mean, or last weekend, they were just, man, they were probably the best chicken I've done all year. I mean, you cut into the breast, and, I mean, it just oozed moisture out of it, and I'm sitting there like, wow, oh, that's so good. And they do nothing. And I was in that same area with, like, 65 teams back in the spring when we won a state championship down there, in the same area, and that chicken was not as good as it was this last weekend, and that chicken was a first-place chicken. And I'm sitting there going, wow. What amazing a few months will change. You know, and just, you're just. But, yeah, it is. I mean, you come down, you cook a half a chicken where we come from, and it's a whole nother game. Now, you guys pretty much follow more of the Kansas City in the SDA and stuff like that, isn't that right?
We do. We follow Kansas City. We do mostly Paducah's, and sometimes you see legs in there, but majority, 90%, you'll see thighs.
Well, you know, and that's my nemesis. I mean, I've cooked several Kansas City cooks, and I'm daddy on thighs, and just thigh-through skin kicks my butt every time. I've gotten better at it. Matter of fact, one of the big steps that I had and something that worked real well is Michael McNerman has that chicken change. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but it's called a chicken changer. It's a piece of cast iron.
Oh, yes, I have seen that with the cast iron.
Got a little plate on it, and you can set them in there, and you can kind of stir them down, and they're great. And that's probably the best luck I've had is since I went to his using his product. And we were out, matter of fact, we were in Albuquerque at a Sand Club Challenge, and he was on a Chad Ward's deal like the week before, and I heard about it, and I was like, I called Michael and said, hey, man, I really want to try one of them. I'm going to be out where you guys are at, you know, in like a week. He's like, I'll get one to you, and so he got it to me, and I talked to him a bit, said, man, if you got any questions when you're out there, he said, we'll talk about it.
Right.
You know, of course, we were out there with, you know, IAB 30 matter of fact, Pork Pears, and I mean, some really good teams out there. And so I got out there, and he's like, all right, we talked about it a little bit, and he kind of got me going on it. And then I used it in Las Vegas with him. And it was just a great product. I mean, it worked, and you know, it's better. I hadn't perfected it yet. I got my timing down quite. Chad, I know that they run about 90 seconds. My process has been around 60 with it, but you know, the same way. I mean, you know, another great bunch of guys right there. I mean, you know, he stands behind the stuff, and I mean, he's got a lot of good stuff out there, and you know, but yeah, that kills me. And you know, we're going to the American Royal this year, and that's the one thing that scares me. I mean, brisket ribs, pork butt don't really bother me a lot. I mean, I've had really good luck with pork this year, but chicken, I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, I love to hate that damn thing.
Right, I know. Everybody does. So I tell you what, Lance, I got to get going here soon. So
okay.
Just let everybody know, you know, you come through, you can visit our website at pitmasterdepot.com. We have our sweet smoke cue on sale right now, the pork injection, for 20% off. Product coming on board, and we look for big things happening there.
Absolutely, buddy. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you come on, and I said we'll get together, and thanks for becoming a sponsor of ours.
No problem.
Anytime.
Forward,
look forward to doing more. And
exactly.
We'll keep in touch, and y'all have a good night, and we'll be in touch soon. Tell Jay hi.
I sure will. All right. Thank you very much, Lance, for having us on again. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Zach.
Hey, no problem. Take it easy. Bye.
Hi, everybody. That was Zach with Pitmasters Depot. They're out of Florida. You can find them at pitmastersdepot.com. And great bunch. Well, we're going to have – I'll have some links on our site and stuff here very soon to where you can go to even our site, westtexaspitmasters.com, and you can click on it and go directly to them and try to post all that stuff on Facebook. And so we're still waiting on Bradley Price to call in with Raider Red and talk a little bit about their show or their contest coming up this next weekend. And so we'll get that out there. If anybody wants to call in, they can call 347-202-0263. And everybody call in. Let's talk a little barbecue. We still got about 45 minutes. And you know, let's liven it up a little bit. And but like I said, we've had some IBC stuff going on this last weekend. As a matter of fact, also, before I get there, chat room is also open. So Anybody wants to come in the chat room? I know Dan U-Haul was in there earlier, and so it's been kind of quiet in there tonight. But so everybody's kind of been quiet everywhere. But we'll get some people to call in. But anyways, said IBCA, they've had their elections. We've got a new board in, and we look forward to getting that going. And you know, for the next 2 years. Lynn Shivers is part of some of the founders of it, and she does a great job. I've been around Lynn a lot, and she probably knows more about the organization than probably anybody out there. And, you know, look forward to doing it. And Waldo did a great job, and, you know, we've talked a few times, and, you know, just a great bunch of people. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot of exciting things going on with IBCA, and look forward to more things to come. And, you know, like I said, there's lots going on out there. And, you know, heck, I mean, like I said, they're the number two barbecue sanctioning body around. And so, you know, like to see more states stuff like that get involved. I know that right now we have cooks in California, we have cooks in Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas. I know we've had some in a couple other places too that I can't think of just right off the top of my head. New Mexico, we've had IBCA cooks. You know, and like I said, I mean, we'd like to get some more of them going out there and see some more of that build. Hawaii, matter of fact, we've had them all the way in Hawaii. And matter of fact, I know that Harry Sue, the Slap Your Daddy barbecue, he's a big member in IBCA. A lot of people don't know that. And he really goes out and cooks in Hawaii every year on that one because it's a I believe it's a state championship. And then, you know, of course, I believe that's the only sanctioned contest that they have in a year. So I believe it's an automatic qualifier for the Jack, too. So I believe that's why a lot of times he goes out there and cooks it. But, you know, who wouldn't want to go to Hawaii or something and be able to cook barbecue and sit out on the beach and have a great time? I mean, that's just, I don't know if you can get much better than that. I mean, that'd be pretty neat. And so, you know, and as we go, hopefully we'll get some more people and more states and stuff involved in it, and we'll get out there a little bit bigger, and we'll keep it going. And, you know, like I said, we had Chris Chadwick last weekend. He came to an IBCA function, and we had a great time. We fellowshiped a lot. We cooked together, and we had a great time. I think his butt was worn plumb out by the time he got home. And I know that they had a big contest this weekend, or a big festival this weekend going. And so I know all them guys over there, Keith and Chris and all them, I think they were all wore out. As a matter of fact, they may be all in bed this time of the night already. But they had a good time, and it looked like they had a really successful cook over there. I know that Chris did pretty well in the competition. So I know he placed in three or four categories, it looked like. I'd like to give a big shout out to Jeremy Moyers. I mean, you know, he's actually a West Texas boy from heart too. You know, grew up in the Lubbock area. His brother Swade lives over here still in shallow water. We cooked some together, and Jeremy got a reserve grand champion this weekend in Athens, Georgia. And looks like he had a really good weekend. And I think he placed in everything but pork, is what he was saying. And so he had a good time. And, you know, that was a big contest over there. I know there's a lot of people fighting for that. And, you know, I think Jim Berg, matter of fact, I believe he was there, and Killer Bees. And he was looking for his seventh grand at that one too, if I understood everybody correctly. So I think he ended up coming in third or fourth overall. I believe he was fourth. I believe Bubba Latimer was third. And so, you know, they had a good contest, and it was good. I know that another one of our friends, here in Texas, Monty Brown, he was looking for his seventh this weekend, and I think he ended up fourth or fifth or something overall, so he didn't quite get it. So we'll probably be seeing him out here in West Texas next weekend. We, matter of fact, we've got two contests going in our area. We've got one at Texas Tech, the Raider Red meets, which is an IBCA function. And then we also have another contest going the same weekend, about 40 miles away in Post. And it's a state championship, and it's sanctioned by Lone Star. So we'll see what happens there. And, you know, it's shaping up to be a pretty good-sized contest, too. And we'll see. Like I said, we're still waiting on Bradley to call in. I know he was, I think his daughter was going to college this weekend, so he was trying to move her in and stuff. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to play a little music here for just a minute, and I'm going to see if I can text him and see if he can come in or what's going on. So, y'all hold on just a minute. We're gonna play a little music here for just a minute, and we'll see if we can't get him in here, and we'll get this going. Hold on just a minute.
I'm on my way to Amarillo. I can't seem to get my fill of that little West Texas town. I've got a sweet thing built right, Betty, head to toe. She's mighty pretty living in that West Texas town. Friday comes, it's time to roll. Time for me to hit the road. I've got my eyes on the horizon. My little dish in that panhandle lights up like a Roman candle when I reach that West Texas town. Big Spring all the way to Plainview. I can't wait to get to you-know-who in that West Texas town. I drive through hell and half of Texas just to get to her. My breakfast waiting in that West Texas town. Friday comes, it's time to roll. Time for me to hit the road. I got my eyes on the horizon. My little dish in that panhandle lights up like a Roman candle when I reach that West Texas town.
Baby, turn the porch light on.
Your big papa's coming home to that West Texas town.
I just sent a message out to him. We'll see if he's available, and we'll just keep on going. But yeah, we've had a lot of good contests this year out in this part of the world. Matter of fact, there was another big contest going on in Red River again this weekend. This is a Lone Star competition, and I hadn't heard what's happened up there. A lot of our friends are up there this weekend too, and so okay. Well, I think maybe we've got Bradley here. So give me just a second, see if we can get him queued in. Hold on just a minute. 292-2009, you're live?
Yeah, I'm here. This is me. This is Bradley Lance. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So I kind of lost track of time, and I didn't realize it was so late. So I meant to send you another deal there. I knew you were pretty busy, but
No, I got distracted. So, I've been feeding the baby, and I just didn't realize what time it was.
Hey, not a problem, buddy. Not a problem. Well, are you ready for next weekend?
Yeah, man, I think we're ready. We're excited.
Yes, sir.
We just have to put some fine tunes together this week and make sure everything's ready to go. But I think all the work's done, and we're ready to welcome everyone in and try to put on the best event possible.
Oh, I think you will. I think you will. Y'all did last year. Like I said, I was there last year, and we cooked it. We had a great time. and you know, we enjoyed it, and you know, we all had a good turnout last year, and I know it's Lone Star last year, and we're IVCA this year, and you know, it's just
I think that'll help us.
I do too.
We should be able to. I think we'll get a larger draw, and we've got a lot of interest from cooks that may not normally feed on competitively. That'll help some on the team count, in my opinion. You know, again, you never know till everyone shows up. Everybody promises you they're coming, but until you see the cooker roll in, you don't know. So you guys know that better than me. But I mean, I don't think there'll be any problem getting 30 plus teams there. And that, to me, at first, I didn't know if we'd get 15 with everything that's going on in the area this weekend. It's very busy, and it's a weekend before school starts, and you know, there's a lot of things to do. But I've had a lot of interest, and excuse me, I've had a lot of people call, and you know, we've even got probably half dozen paid entries already. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity of meeting everyone.
Absolutely, buddy. Well, like I said, I mean, I think you will. And I mean, you know, this time of year too, and I mean, you know, of course, it was one of those, you know, one of those things that happened this year. I mean, to try to get it on the books, you know, and get it swapped over, you know, we just, you know, we ended up on one of those weekends, and you know, that's just how it goes. But you know, with everybody coming back in and stuff like that, everybody's kind of wanting to mess around and you know, have a good time and kind of get out there. So you know, I think I'm just like you, that you'll have a pretty good draw out of that, and I think you'll have you know, a lot of people. What about judging and stuff? Are you pretty well filled up on judging, or you still need some judges?
Yeah, we've got 130 judges lined up, and we have a waiting list. That's one thing being associated with Tech that we usually don't have any problem. We have tons of people that want to come out and support the event, so we have a waiting list. We'll have plenty of people show up and be there that day. You know, we're located at the contest is straight west of UMC, right off Texas Tech Parkway at 10th and Marsha Sharp Freeway. 10th and Texas Tech Parkway is the exact address. You can look at the map that's online at RaiderRedMeats.com. There's a star drawn on there. You can't miss us. There'll be a tent set up there, you know, where we'll have a check-in area, and that'll be the judging area as well. So,
that's where we were last year, right?
Yeah, we're going to be on the south parking lot rather than the north last year. We were in the north, and it worked great, but there's an event going on there in that north parking lot, I think, sometime on Saturday, and we didn't want to have any conflicting traffic or issues or anything like that, and didn't want someone not to be able to do that. And there's plenty of room on the south end, so we're going to host the south end. If we need overflow, we'll have the east parking lot across it. I mean, we're not going to have a problem with space. I mean, every space will be 30 by 40. RVs are welcome. We will not have electric or water provided this time. Again, we're still struggling with trying to make that happen just in the early years of the cook-off being started. But there'll be plenty of space. I mean, we won't have to worry about bring whatever you want. You know, guests are welcome. We want to make this event something that's fun for the cooks and fun for the people who come out and enjoy it.
Well, like I said, I mean, it was last year. It was very family-oriented last year. I know that a lot of my family was out there, and, you know, matter of fact, several of them are alumni and stuff like that, so they enjoy coming out to, you know, Tech things and stuff like that. And then, you know, just a lot of involvement. I mean, you know, I said, we've all talked about the meet and stuff like that. And you know, it's for good causes. And, you know, heck, I mean, you know, I look forward to it too. I was, you know, when I didn't see it earlier in the year this year, I got a little worried that you were going to do one. And I thought, man, we had a good time there last year. And so when it popped up, I was glad to see it.
We were trying to find a time for us, Lance, that would work for all of our students. I mean, everything we do here is for students, and it just didn't have an opportunity to fit any of our schedules in the fall or spring because these teams are out competitively representing the university and our department all the time. They travel all the time, and when they're not traveling, they're working hard doing something else, and that's a large group of kids now. In the past, 20 years ago, it was a handful, but now it's several dozen. And for those guys that did get to take part in the event, we just decided, you know what, everybody's going to get back in Lubbock this week sometime. We'll be here 2 days before school starts, so we'll have plenty of help. Let's just move the event to there and see if we can't make something work for the group there, other than the fact that August is usually 100 degrees every day. It looks like the forecast is going to be in the high 80s that weekend, which is going to be awesome.
Right now, it's looking great. Well, hey, let's talk about this a little bit, Bradley, because, you know, I was an FFA student, and my teacher way back was big in the meats, and, you know, and that's kind of how I kind of got my start in a lot of that. I mean, we grew up butchering and all that end of it, and so I've always had a huge interest in this. And you were talking about the competitiveness and stuff. I mean, what you're talking about is your meat judging group.
Yeah, we
correct?
Have, you know, we recruit kids all over the country to come in. We have four competitive teams here in our department. We have a meats team, a livestock team, a wool team, and a horse team. And a lot of those kids judge more than one. But, you know, there's a lot of great kids that come from Oregon to as far east as West Virginia. And, you know, 15 years ago when I was here as finishing my undergrad, you know, we had Texas and maybe a few New Mexico or bordering state students. Now we have them all over the country. It's these teams are competitive. They challenge for the national championship year in and year out. And several years we win them back-to-back. So we're very fortunate to have the faculty and students that are part of our program that we have today, just because of the fact that people are highly driven to be successful, extremely hard work ethics, and we try to teach these students to make sure they help themselves all they can, because that's not the society we all live in today.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, and, you know, a lot of people don't realize, I mean, you know, it's even in what we do, and, you know, competitive barbecue and stuff like that, and we were talking about a little bit about this earlier, was that, you know, the science of meat and stuff, I mean, you know, plays a huge part in what we do and how all that works and everything. And it plays a large part in people's everyday lives, and they don't realize, you know, what the process and all the work that goes into getting meat out there to people's tables and stuff like that, and, you know, all the different grading and you know, how that comes about and stuff. And, you know, like I said, I mean, most of us started out 4-H or FFA in judging programs, and, you know, they kind of cultivated that, and then we get into college and stuff like that, and, you know, you guys kind of refine it, and then, you know, a lot of your students and stuff after that, they go into interns and stuff like that, into those industries. Probably, what is that percentage now? 70-80% still probably go into the industry of that after they're done?
Man, it's high, Lance. I don't know that number. We're placing a lot of students. I know our internships every summer, students. We had students in Australia, New Zealand, Poland,
wow,
South America, and all over the North America this summer. And the placement's extremely high for where these students are going. And they go from everything from, you know, quality assurance to food safety to beef tenderness to carcass grading. I mean, their exposure is just unbelievable for the experience they get for 3 months. You know, I had the greatest time of my life when I did that. I did an internship in Michigan when I was there. And, it was the best summer I ever had while I was in college. So I can only imagine what some of these kids that are traveling internationally and what they learn and the contacts they make and all the things you see. You know, you're going to countries who are predominantly grass-fed and do things totally different than we do in the U.S. So their marketability when they finish as a student will be extremely high just because of their exposure without any practical experience. And that's our goal, is what can we do to make the graduates here worth more and more desirable when they leave here. We just want to make sure these students are the best they can be when they turn out and provide them with every practical opportunity that we can. And the classroom only teaches you so much. It doesn't teach you how to make money. So,
right.
And without making money, nobody has a job. So that's one thing you have to not lose sight of when you're in the world of academia. So it's a great opportunity for them today in our program.
Well, and I mean, and I believe, I know, like your, I believe your meat judging group, they won another national championship this year, isn't that correct?
Yes, yeah, they did, and they're undefeated this year, so they have a strong team this year.
Yes.
there's a good chance that they'll win it again as long as they continue to train hard and coach and make the decisions they are when they're coached. And, you know, lots of things can happen, but these students have a foundational background to be highly successful this fall. There's four more contests. There's a lot of judging left to do. They compete all over the country this year, but they have a good chance to win that. Yes, they do.
Oh, no, I mean, you know, and like I said, I mean, you know, like I said, when I was in school, I was kind of a field in a lot of times, you know. My big one was in a horse and stuff. I was that's kind of where my expertise was, but I filled in on the meet teams, and, you know, if they needed a fourth guy here or there and I had time, I'd, you know, that my teacher always shoved me into something. I mean, heck, we judged poultry, just like I said, wool, been into dairy.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, and there's so many different aspects of all these different things going on, and you're sitting there going, you know, good Lord. But the experience and stuff that you get from judging and being the exposure and learning that end of it is invaluable. And, you know, I didn't judge in college, and, you know, I didn't go that far into it, but you know, even at our level, I mean, just, you know, what you learn and stuff, and what I do know in a lot of that, you know, growing up butchering and then, you know, being exposed to all that in school is invaluable, and you know, it's great, and I mean, you know, and that's what people need. They need that kind of stuff. And, I mean,
there's a tremendous gap out there with the consumer in terms of education of what people think is healthy form and what actually is. And
right.
Our job is not to try to convince one. Our job is not to convince a consumer that they need to eat this beef or they need to eat that beef. Our job is to present the facts based on data and research and let the consumer make an educated decision. And what most
right.
people don't understand is the average piece of meat you pick up at a retail store is about 17 days old. And there's a tremendous
Absolutely.
Amount of aging that can go on between 17 and 28 days that can enhance beef tenderness. So that gives you the exact reason why you go to the store sometimes. You can buy a steak that's really good, and you can go back to the same store and buy the same steak the next week, and it's terrible. And there's no consistency in the aging process. And that's what we try to train our students to, you know, we're going to put the best product out, and this is how we're going to do it. What we do is rocket science. It's just consistent.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, and there's two aspects of that. You know, it's like, you know, of course, you know, I deal with Excel up here, and you know, I've been, you know, involved, you know, with a lot of guys, stuff like that, and like Jim Ratzke, you know, when he was over here, he was
uh-huh.
running the plant. You know, he tried, you know, just what you said. I mean, on the average, he tried to have about 16 days of age on that meat before it went out. Now, that didn't always happen. And the same thing, too. We all know this. I mean, you know, you'll get a box that says choice or higher, and you'll open it up, and I mean, they'll look select all day long, and you know, they just don't have the marbling and stuff like that, and you wonder, like, you know, what in the world happened here? Who was grading this? And you know, and that's some of that too. I mean, I think that you know, it's right there. I mean, you have guys and ladies that have been trained very well in that, in grading and stuff. And then you have others that, you know, they may have gotten the fundamentals and stuff like that, but they didn't get all of it. And, I mean, and so, you know, they go through and grade, or, you know, they get into a process where, you know, and I don't know how true this is, you know, where they grade, you know, every other carcass or every kid's carcass, and, you know, they're shooting an average to try to pull that. And, you know, you look at your meats and stuff nowadays, and it's a lot different. And, I mean, you know, it's like y'all's situation there. I mean, y'all's meat product there, I mean, y'all are dry aging. I believe everything that you have in there, is it all prime, or do you have choice?
No, we have we offer prime, but that's not a feasible option for all the consumers that shop in our place. So the next category down would be top choice, which is the top 7% of the market. Prime's the top 2, but all of our steaks are the top 7. That are labeled and branded in one of our programs. We do offer a value pack, and sometimes those steaks may be a choice or select that are heavy age, but we don't really offer any select beef consistently. It's probably a couple handful times of the year that we'd even put it in the case. everything we offer is a top 7%. We just want to make sure every time a consumer comes in, when they go home, they can tell everybody that's the best steak I could possibly buy. And I've been here 5 years, and we sell a lot of steaks, and I haven't had one brought back yet, which I'll have one tomorrow since I said that. But what we're doing and the model that we use, I think, works, and it's not because of we're smarter than everyone else or anything like that. It's just we age the product like it needs to be aged and buy the top end. You know, in the retail markets, most of them you're buying the top 50% of the beef. So your range and variability in that product is much greater than when you're buying the top 7. So the room for error is just so much smaller when you get our product. That's the difference.
Well, and that makes a huge difference, and a lot of people don't realize that. And, I mean, and the comment you made earlier, I mean, that's big, right? It seemed like, you know, my mother-in-law has said in the past, you know, they'll go to the store and, you know, they don't, you know, they don't get into that. They look at a price and they look at a piece of meat and they say, okay, that's a rib. So, you know, automatically that should be a good piece of meat. And, you know, they pick up that package and they go and, you know, they have one that's really good. And then just like you said, I mean, the next time they go, they get that same thing. And it's like, man, that's like the top of the boot. And, you know, there's more to that. And, you know, when you get into these things, you get into our supermarkets and stuff like that now. I mean, everything's so mass produced and stuff. And your butchers and stuff like that, you know, even like our butchers, you know, it's like United Supermarket, stuff like that. I mean, a lot of them guys, they have no education in that at all. I mean, they know how to cut a piece of meat, and that's the extent of it. And, you know, it may get labeled one thing, and it may be another, you know. So, you know, that's where you guys are invaluable to, you know, start, you know, training and stuff and doing that stuff with these people. And, you know, it does. It makes a difference. I had some of your steaks last week, and they were very good. And they were great. And, you know, matter of fact, you know, like I said, I'm going to try one of your brisket this weekend. I'm looking so forward to it. Now, is that your product? Is it a certified Angus or?
No, I try to buy a brand Cargill produces called Sterling Silver.
Yes, sir.
Certified Angus beef, in my opinion, is it has more variation within the breed or within the brand than what Sterling Silver does. Basically, Sterling Silver and Certified Angus beef have the same carcass characteristic requirements, but Certified Angus beef obviously has to be black-hided, and Sterling Silver does not require black-hided. So I think that brand has a lot more English influence from a genetic standpoint and a lot less exotic. And I think that product performs at a more consistent level. So we would buy a Sterling Silver brand, and people in this area is probably not familiar with that at the retail level because it's not in there. Usually you see CAB or Texas Genuine Beef at United Supermarkets and some of those things. So that's the brand that I buy, and it's by choice. I'm not telling you Certified Angus beef isn't good. That's not what I'm saying. I just think through the number of years that I've been exposed to the product and the number of steaks we sell, I think the Sterling Silver is a more consistent product that performs higher over time.
I've had the Sterling Silver, and you are exactly right. You know, one of their products that I thought that's been really great was their New York strips. They produce a really good strip, and I've had that a few times. And you know, the connections that, you know, like we know and stuff like that, you know, I've had that. And Sterling Silver is a great product. You're absolutely right about that. And, I was curious about that the other day. And we were kind of talking about that, and I wasn't sure what you're using, but that makes a lot of sense and a lot of success that you've had and what you're doing. With that product, so you know, that's great. And you know, and then, you know, with you guys opening up on the weekends, on Saturdays now, and y'all are still open to what, till 5 o'clock on Monday through Friday, is that correct?
Yeah, we're open Monday through Friday 8 to 5:30, and on Saturdays from 10 to 3. But the Saturdays are going to stop August 31st because football season starts at Labor Day on Tech campus, and I can't tell consumers, well, we're open 2 weekends in a row and then we're closed 3, or we're open and closed, because you're not going to be able to get campus with those parking lots. So we just have to shut it down, and then we're going to, when football season's over, first week of December before the holidays, we're going to open back up because we've seen an unbelievable support from consumers who just can't get there and shop. You know, we're not consumer friendly from the hours of operation. People don't grocery shop a lot. You know, people who work at night do, but percentage of consumers don't shop between the hours of 8 and 5:30 unless it's a must need. Everybody shops in the evenings or on the weekends if you go to these stores and look for the crowd. So, and everyone knows that, but that's why we tried to offer another day open, and it's been a huge success for us.
Well, I mean, that, and then, you know, just exposure like with Ray Bonner with Outdoor Chef. I mean, you know, I know that you guys have been heavily involved in the deal with Nikki D. Ray, and, you know, they have their cookout.
Backyard barbecues.
Backyard barbecues. I guess that's a weekly thing during the summer, isn't that correct?
Yeah, it runs eight weeks throughout the summer, and the sponsors, Far RV, Outdoor Chef, us, and this year it's Connecticut Water, I believe. And they just put up some areas where people can come in and sign up and drop their name in a ballot, and they just go around randomly and pick from one of those locations. And we give a barbecue up to 15 to 20 people in their backyard. We come to them and cook for them. And it's a great way to get out and meet some great people in the community and tell your story and provide some great product. And, you know, if you're going to spend some money on advertisement, there's not a better chance to go over to somebody's house for an hour and a half and talk to them about something. So it's been great for us.
No, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, and I mean, that is, I mean, and there's nothing better than, I mean, you get 15, 20 people to have your product. You get somebody in there that knows how to cook the product, like Ray, that, you know, has several years of experience in that end of it. And, you know, so, you know, the meat's done correctly. It's done what needs to be. And, you know, it just, you know, yeah, I mean, you don't get much better than that. And, you know, that's a pretty neat thing there. And, you know, because, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't realize, too. I mean, it, you know, you can have the best piece of meat in the world, and if you don't cook it correctly, it's not much better than anything else. And
That's right. You got to start with a good one, but you got to be a good cook.
That's exactly it. And, I mean, you know, that's the thing. You know, when people say, you know, like, well, you know, I want the thing well done. You're like, oh, Lord. But, you know, it happens. And, I mean, you know, of course, that's, you know, with a lot of the older people, with all of the, you know, even with me growing up with, you know, my grandparents and stuff, you know, I said they did a lot of their own butchering and, you know, we did a lot of stuff with wild game and stuff. And, I mean, you know, it was always that belief that everything had to be cooked well done in order for all of the, you know, the bugs and everything to be killed and, you know, there wasn't anything bad, stuff like that. And, you know, they didn't realize that, you know, we have a lot of that natural stuff in us anyways. And, of course, you know, that's the thing that has changed a lot with a lot of people, too, is that, you know, even on that side of it, with all the antibacterial soaps and all that stuff, we kill a lot of our good bacteria. And, you know, so some of these things change. And, I mean, y'all's industry over the years has changed. You know, I can't even imagine how much has changed. You know, I grew up drinking raw milk. And loved it, you know, until I was a teenager. And, you know, now you hear someone say something about raw milk, and they think that, you know, automatically it's like the plague or something, you're going to die. And, you know.
Well, the only meat product you really have to, you only have to cook well done is, you know, ground beef, just to make sure the surface area is so high on the product when you grind it. You have the only get bugs you really need to worry about, salmonella or E. coli. And if you cook that stuff to 160, the product, those bugs can't exist. And if you're cooking a steak medium rare, what people don't understand is that you're only the outside surface, the inside part of that muscle is sterile. It's never been exposed to anything. So when you put it on a 400-degree grill, I can assure you that whatever you're eating in the middle of it, it's sterile on the outside. I promise you, if there's anything growing, it's not going to hurt you. So that's,
right.
I mean, that's been around since the caveman, but I think people just, you know, that are an older generation, they were raised that way, and, you know, change is not easy for people. So I grew up doing the same thing. First taste penalty I ate at Tech, I was like, man, I'm not eating that. It's medium rare. And, of course, the first time I did, I've never eaten one medium well since. So it's all about how you're raised.
No, that's exactly right. It's like, you know, whoa, you know, and that's how I grew up too, you know, and so you're so used to eating everything like that. And then, yeah, that first time you get exposed to it, it's like, oh, wow. What the heck have I been thinking? And, you know, But, you know, just what you say, I mean, it's like my parents and stuff. I mean, I've done it, you know, when I cook, you know, because I don't think a lot about it. And, you know, they'll kind of look at me and they'll kind of raise their eye probably and be like, what are you doing? What do you mean? That's a good piece of meat. Don't make
That's
me
right.
run it, please. And, you know,
well,
my daughter,
we eat soft tacos when my parents come over. I don't cook steak because they like to burn. I let them do that on their own.
So, well, you know, I've got a 9-year-old daughter, and I started her out when she was a baby. When I say a baby, I mean she was old enough to be able to chew on steak and stuff like that. I started her out on medium rare. And that kid right now, I mean, if you take her to a restaurant and you ask her to order steak, I guarantee you she will order that thing medium rare. And there's not
yes,
many
sir.
Kids that age that you see that. But, you know, it's funny to watch. And they'll look at it like, she knows what she wants. I said, oh, yes, she does. That's how that kid's been eating all her life like that. And, you know, it is. I mean, you know, it makes a difference. And, you know, I said just what you said right there. It takes a good piece of meat to start out with, and you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, and I said, I mean, I've heard nothing but good things. Of course, I've been eating your sausage for a long time. You know, y'all have had it out in the supermarket and stuff like that. And so, you know, that's been one of my big deals. You know, we talked about the other day, you know, being, you know, 45 miles away, working all day, it's kind of hard to get down there to see you guys. But y'all sausage or jalapeno sausage especially, I've been eating it for years. I use it for a lot of stuff that I do, and if I'm feeding people stuff like that, that's primarily what I use, and it's a great sausage. And you know, so
yeah,
I'll
we
have,
can
I mean,
we can for you guys that cook a lot for people and for groups, we can accommodate those needs too. We carry a large volume of product. It's not just come in and buy a handful of steaks. You know, we have people came in last week or week before get 225 ribeyes, and we'll have people come in and get 20 cases of briskets and. We do all those things, so we carry lots of volume around us, too. So if there's ever a need for someone to host a large group or you want to get some product to feed those, some of you guys that are cooks out there that are listening, we have the availability to supply that need, too. So we just need a little bit of lead time to make sure we have the product. Always call when you know you're going to order an abnormal size or amount than a normal consumer would, but we can certainly do that for you, too. And that's been a big advantage for a lot of people that cater for people on the side. I know a lot of you cooks probably do that to help yourself travel weekly and things like that if you don't have a large number of sponsors. So we'd be glad to help you or service any of those needs too.
Well, and just, you know, just so the public knows too, and I mean, and I've got kind of a point here, but let's take one of your briskets. I mean, per pound on the average, what price mark did y'all? And I know that the market fluctuates, but like right now, what is one of your prime briskets running a pound?
The briskets that we have in house right now, based on the cost we purchased them at, they're $2.79 a pound. And the reason they're probably you know, most of the time we're around 20 cents higher than you can get at the store. We buy brisket. We buy a brisket that's weight range. There's only one beef plant in North America that weight ranges a beef brisket. And for people who cook large numbers of them, these briskets yield better. But all cooks want a 14 to 16-pound brisket. Everybody has their preferences. I'm not going to sit here and try to tell somebody they don't need that size brisket. Our briskets weigh about 11.7, so they're smaller. Do I have a 14-pound brisket in the box? Sure we do. We'll find those every now and then. But we don't. The problem is when you get a 14 or 16-pound brisket, you also get an extremely fat brisket most of the time. And, you know, I know the fat protects it when you're cooking it and things, but there's a lot of trim loss if you're cooking for yield and trying to serve a group. When you're cooking one for competition, that doesn't matter, and I understand that. But we run a lot of volume, and we don't sell to mostly cooks that are doing competition. We sell it to consumers or people who are trying to make sure their yield on our product and cost are manageable. So we've chosen to go with that brisket. And that's one reason it's more expensive, because it's isolated from that plant and the freight that's involved bringing it here. And the other thing is that we hold those briskets, and I won't sell a brisket unless it has 45 days age on it. So,
well, that's the thing. When you say, if I go to United Supermarkets, I'm going to pay $2.49 a pound. And that's generally, for the most part, that's going to be a select brisket. And so you know, and that's what people need to understand. I mean, all of a sudden, I can go in and buy the top, which said top 2% brisket, and I'm going to pay 20 to 30 cents more. That's nothing, I mean, in the grand scheme of that. You know, for such a difference in brisket and quality. And, you know,
well, in our brisket, I wouldn't tell you, Lance, I don't want anybody to misbelieve. I don't think that our briskets are, when we buy them, I don't think they're any better than what United can service you. But when you buy them from us, they will be, just because we have the age on them. United buys good meat. They just turn product quickly. And sure, sometimes it doesn't equal to what we do. Those guys are great people, and they have a, you know, they have a great business, and there's nothing that we're doing that's special. It's just all we're doing is aging it. I mean, it's real simple. That's the reason. The only reason ours is more expensive, because we have to buy the inventory, put it in the cooler, and run the coolers to age the product. That's why it's more expensive.
Well,
anyone can do it.
Well, and that's true. I mean, that's true. I mean, but I mean, there's more work and stuff involved. And I mean, you're right. I mean, and I buy a lot of stuff out of United. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, you know, there is. I mean, there is a difference. I mean, when you go into those things. I tell you what, Bradley, hold on just 1 second. I think we got one guy that, matter of fact, had some of your steaks last week. I'm going to key him in real quick. And
okay.
We've got about 5-10 minutes, and see if we can get him in here. As a matter of fact, I think you met him last week. 731-571, you're live.
Good evening, guys. What's going on? Chris Chadwick, what's happening, y'all?
Not much, man. We got Bradley in the house. I think, did you get to meet Bradley last week?
I sure did. I did get to meet Brad, and we had a great time. He showed me and John the facility. I mean, it's an awesome place. I just actually looked at the clock, Lance. I apologize for not calling in earlier. But, man, I've been wide open all weekend long. Here in McKenzie, we had a big sweet Southern Fried Food Sweet Tea Festival, and I'm just winding down from it from Friday morning. So I do apologize, but I wanted to call in and give you a shout-out and just tell you I'm sorry I missed the show, but I will listen to it in archives. Brad, it's good to talk to you again, sir. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Chris. How are you doing?
Man, I'm great. Just running behind as always, you know. I guess that's a good thing. We run behind, we never will catch up.
Yeah, that's it. So,
job security.
Well, you know, yeah. Well, you know, we're fixing to have our big contest this weekend over at Texas Tech at the Raider Red Meats contest, and Bradley's putting on. Hey, like I said, I was there last year. We cooked it, put on a great event, and looking forward to it again. And you know, I'm hoping that we're going to get a big crowd out there. I think we are. I've had quite a bit of response out of it, and looking forward to getting out there and do a little cooking on Tech and fellowshipping a little bit and getting to hang out with everybody and getting that thing fired up, and we're going to go with it. And
man,
so,
that's just exciting. That's exciting. You know, it's going to be a great event right there on the campus, Texas Tech University, right there. I mean, I have a feeling it's just going to be huge, and y'all are going to have more cooks, and you know what to do with the teams. Well, I bet the teams are going to roll in. Old Raider Red Meats is going to be slinging that brisket out the door. Them cook teams are going to be using that prime brisket. They're not going to buy no regular old choice or select. They're going to go prime aged, and I tell you what, I just can't wait. I'm going to put an order in just really soon for my next comp, and I'm going to feel really special having it shipped in from Texas.
There you go.
Well, we'll be glad.
Later.
We'll be glad to do it.
Rally fixing go ahead.
I'm sorry, Lance. I was going to say, matter of fact, I was telling a guy out of Missouri about that today, and hopefully you'll get a call from Missouri too. And we're just going to spread the word here. Maybe we can get you on a three-time show. You've been on John's show, and now you're on Lance's, so hopefully I'll be more than happy to have you on Wednesday night's show and get some Tennessee crowd involved in Missouri and Kentucky. And so, Brad, if you'd like to come on Wednesday night's show, brother, we'd love to have you.
Man, we'd love to. We're just we're thankful that we've met you guys and appreciate the opportunity to meet you and grow and service anybody's needs. And, you know, we're just thankful everybody that will show up. We just want to do a good job of putting on an event that hosts something that the cooks can enjoy and talk about and always want to come back. When you do that, then you know you've done something right. So that's our vision.
Yeah, amen. You got it. And that's and this is your, what, second one there on Texas Tech?
Third. It'll be the third.
Awesome. Well, you know, it's the third one, so the one and two had to be good to have a third one. So, you know, congratulations on that. And it's going to be good. I hate I can't be there for that, but, you know, 1,000 miles away, it's kind of rough sometimes. But I sure had a big time while I was in Texas. I won't never forget it. You know, I'm looking forward to coming back again, and I'm sure that will happen sooner than later. But y'all just have a huge event. Have a great time. Lance, I didn't want to take a lot of your show up, but I did want to call in and say hi. And Brad, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a call and we'll work it out. So, I mean, anytime's convenient for you, it's good for me on Wednesday nights. And if you want to come on this Wednesday night, we'll spread the word even more.
We'd love to. Thank you.
All right,
well,
buddy.
And I was going to tell you, you know, something else, Bradley. You know, I know you didn't get a lot of response out of it this year, but, you know, I really enjoyed the steak cook-off last year, too. And, you know, something that, you know, maybe we might get back to next year. I know there are several other guys around here that did. They enjoyed it. And something that you and I need to talk a little bit about, we are working on a deal here in Plainview to Mark Marley. You know, we had the first annual Mark Marley cook-off this year, and next year they're wanting to do a steak cook-off on Friday night. I'm working on trying to get it sanctioned with Brett Galloway with the Steak Association and getting it going. And so we probably need to sit down and talk a little bit about that end of it. And you know, because we're gonna need a supply of good steaks, and you know, I can't think of anybody better to get a consistent product, you know, for a cook-off, something for like that, than you guys. And so, as we kind of get this going, like I said, Brett and I are gonna sit down, and we're gonna talk a little bit about it here in the next about month or so, and kind of get that rolling, and we'd like try to have that like on a Friday night, kind of like what you did. And, you know, instead kind of have it as a sanctioned deal and, you know, maybe work with you, get some steaks in and, you know, get that out there too. And
we'd love to support it. We've known Mark a long time, and we want to support anything in his honor, and we'd be glad to do it.
Well, I knew y'all had, and, I mean, you know, he was you know, that's kind of how I got my start around here cooking and stuff was, you know, we did a lot of relay lives and you know, we were very involved in the cotton burn ball, stuff like that. And, you know, last year I kind of, they didn't do one this year, but last year we did the cotton burn ball here and stuff like that. And so, you know, as that end of it works and stuff, you know, it was great. I mean, Mark did a lot for the community and very given man on that end of it. And, you know, like I said, I mean, we had a long history on that end of it. And it's kind of where I'm at on that end of it, too. It's, I mean, anything we can do for that end of it and get that out there and to help them, I'm all for it. And so, like I said, we'll get together and we'll talk about that a little bit, see what we can do and maybe get that sanctioned to where, you know, we have some of the bigger steak cooks and stuff come in and, just maybe blow it up a little bit and have a good time and, you know, get y'all's name out there some more and, you know, just, you know, help everybody. I mean, do it for a good cause and to, you know, just, you know, all the way around, promote tech and the whole end of it. And I appreciate you coming on tonight. And you're welcome to come on anytime you got anything on that end of it that you want to announce or just give me a shout and we can do it. And,
We appreciate you having us. Yeah, we're looking forward to meeting everyone, and we'll see you guys this weekend.
Okay, we'll see you, Brad. And
okay.
And all right, thank you. You have a good night.
Good night.
You tell her, Chris.
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, man.
Yeah,
well, we didn't get to talk
I'm
much.
I'm still here.
Well,
well,
it looks like y'all
right,
had a.
It's all right.
Y'all had a good event. Looks like you did pretty well doing some fried food.
No, we did. I kicked out some crazy dishes real quick to seal the deal. You know, y'all don't do a lot of pork right there in Texas, but we need to change that. Next time I come in, I'm going to be cooking up some pork for you, and showing you what you're missing out on. I actually did a deep fried barbecue sandwich, and let me tell you, son, you're talking about fire. It was on the money, and you just cannot imagine how good it actually was. And
well, I can
you know, I'm gonna be completely honest. I didn't know how it was gonna turn out. I didn't even try one before I turned it into the judges. I mean, it was hammered down, wide open. Get it done. Just get something done and turn it in. And, I mean, it just went over like wildfire. I mean, it was, can't explain it. You're just going to have to try it. And what we did, we deep fried just a big old pork barbecue sandwich in a beer tempura batter. Threw it in that hot grease. It sealed it, flipped it real quick, let it brown, and it just toasted that you up to perfection. I mean, it made it buttery, gooey, good. And it was rock star, let me tell you.
Well, see, I need to get you guys to take that fajita meat.
Yep.
And then take my green chili and some cheese.
Yep.
And then y'all ever eat sopapillas out that part of the world?
No. I mean, you know, listen, we have one Mexican restaurant here in McKinsey, Tennessee.
Well, next time you come out, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take it, and what I do is I take a sopapilla bread, which will balloon up.
Right.
And I make kind of like an empanada.
Right.
And you fill that up, and you deep fry that bad boy. It's pretty good.
I bet it's fire. I bet it is.
Oh, yeah, you know me. There ain't nothing I don't have that fire. Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right. Fire, brother. That's what we're talking about. That's what we love to do. We love to eat it. We love to talk it. We love to smoke
yes,
it. I mean, we're just going to do it. You know, and
yes,
you know, Brad, being on the line there, you know, it's this is how it works. I love to support people that support barbecue, bottom line.
Absolutely.
And,
well,
and he's
you know, and
there.
That's what we had, you know, when we had Zach on from Pitmaster's Depot earlier. That's probably
right.
Product that you missed. And, I mean, we got to talk a lot about it. I mean, you know, they come on board. They're one of our new sponsors.
Right.
And,
congratulations on that.
Thank you. And, you know, same way. I mean, you know, they're out there. They're you know, it's like we talked about earlier. They're preaching the gospel, you know. I think it's pretty fitting on Sunday nights, you know. Have a little gospel of barbecue on.
That's right.
And to promote that and get it going, man.
That's
and,
how you do it, brother.
So,
that's how you do it. We just keep promoting, keep it positive, keep promoting, and keep the faith. And they say it will come. So that's what we're going to do. And I mean, I can't complain about it. It's joined me and you together. It's joined me and John together. It's let me meet Bradley, you know. I mean, it's just strange how it works. And it just keeps on getting better. So that's what we got to do is keep our heads up, both six guns aimed, and just let the lead fly, let the smoke roll, and we're going to have a good time about it. And
that's
keep
it, man.
Doing what we do and just wishing everybody the best.
Well, I'm going to holler at you this week, too, and we need to talk about a little sauce. We were talking about that
right.
A little bit the other night, and we need to talk a little bit more about that. And you intrigued me a little bit on some of that. I won't go into all of it, but, you know, it was there was so much going on last weekend that we couldn't
We didn't have a lot of time to play.
That's right.
We didn't
so,
have a
little,
yeah.
We need to talk a little bit more about that. And so I've got some ideas, and I know that You intrigued me by some of the things that you said about it last weekend, and I thought you really got me to thinking.
Well,
and so
you got my number. Anytime you want to call, you know you're welcome to call. We'll work it out. We'll talk to you. I mean, we don't have to be on the air to talk to you. That's what it's all about. I'm talking to you every day, and I mean it's not even my job, but I'm talking it every day.
Well, I mean that's me. I mean, you know, I've gone into the, you know, as a matter of fact, I went down last night to Lubbock, and I think I got me a little deal going on down there. We're going to do some bending down there here. Matter of fact, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be doing one. And, you know, that's it. I mean, I'm going to get to where, you know, I'm doing more and more of that end of it and get it
right
out there, because that's what I believe in. And believe it or not, I'm going to be doing probably about 4 to 6 butts a weekend.
Well, you know, the thing about it is we all, as barbecuers, we love to cook. We love to spread what we love to do to other people. And we want them to enjoy it, and we want them to say, you know, that's the best barbecue I've ever had. You know, we appreciate that. They don't know how
Absolutely.
We appreciate that, you know. That's a compliment to us. And we all do a little private vending. If we're barbecue cooks, we're going to cook it for everybody. And when we get paid for it, that even makes it better. You know, this weekend, we probably about 12, we did about 14 butts this weekend. And that's Friday night. I had them ready, I had them pre-cooked for Friday night. I pulled them off pit Friday morning. And we had eight Friday. And so when I got home at 12 o'clock Friday night, I had to fire that pit up and cook.
Go again.
So, you know, you know, we did that. We fired it up and 7 more and got those done, and we run out. I could have probably cooked 6 more if I had had the space and the time, and I could have cooked 6 more and sold those too. So, you know, all that little bit helps. I mean, that's what makes the world go around. And if we make a little money doing what we love, I'm all for that too.
Absolutely, buddy. Absolutely. Well. I'm hoping you kind of recovered, maybe, from all that last weekend.
I had to. I had to get. You know, I'm a big old boy, but I hang pretty tough. It's just you got to have a little sleep in between there.
Oh, yes, sir. You're right about that. Well, you start wearing that West Texas Pitmaster shirt around there and start preaching the gospel on that a little bit there, buddy.
There you go. That's going to excite everybody around here. They don't know anything about that Texas Q. That's sure.
It. They're always like, man, what in the hell happened here?
I feel like a celebrity. I'm telling you.
I understand that one thing. Yeah,
well,
sometimes
I tell you
like,
what. It's crazy, but we just have a good time and keep it rolling and keep it going. And, you know, actually, I don't know if you noticed where I posted that on the Channel 13, Channel 7 News out of Memphis, Jackson.
Yeah, well, it looked like you were doing a lot of that stuff this week. It looked like you were all over the TV.
Well, yeah, you know, I did some bacon-wrapped asparagus that I deep-fried. And it just went over real, real great. I mean, it just went crazy. And, you know, deep fried.
Yeah, see, all I've ever done that way is grilled it. I grill it, and what's that? I mean, it's even good that way, but I can only imagine.
And, it was fire. And so, you know, and we had a wild card, and I turned that barbecue sandwich in. We had a meat category, a deep-fried meat. And I went completely off course, and I did a deep-fried, tempura-battered tilapia. So that just, you know, that just threw them for a loop, and that worked. And then my dessert, I was going to deep-fry a Milky Way and yellow cake mix, but my cake mix wouldn't stay on my Milky Way, so I didn't even turn in a dessert. So we had a big time, but it was all, like I say, it was all wide open. You know, I had about 30, 45 minutes to make all this stuff happen.
Yeah.
You know, at 2:15 was our final turn, and at 1:30 I was at the grocery store. So.
Yeah, you're like me last week.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So
I was getting trained at 6:40 and turn-ins are at 7.
Yeah, that's crazy.
At 6:45, I'm like, crap.
We don't deserve that pressure, that kind of pressure on us, I'm telling you. We're just barbecue cooks. We don't need that kind of pressure.
Well, buddy,
anyhow,
it's
been a pleasure talking with you this evening. I know it's time for you to get off the air, and thank you for having me on for a few minutes.
Hey, anytime, you know that. You're part of my family and part of the brotherhood here, and so, you know, you're welcome anytime to come on. And there's always an open invite there. You don't have to worry about it.
Well,
if you can, you come on both ways. So I enjoyed it, and I'm glad we got to spend some time together and trying to get everything together and trying to figure out my fall. And I don't know. It's getting crazy. So, but we'll make it through it, and we'll get together soon again. And
we will.
Actually, I'm going to holler at you this week, and I need to talk to you a little bit. I'll bounce a few things off to you. Why don't you give a shout out, how everybody can get a hold of you and find you, and we'll end it that way. How's that?
Well, I'll be glad to. Thank you for having me on, Lance Moore, West Texas Pitmasters Radio Barbecue Show. I always enjoy it. This is Chris Chadwick. You can find me on Facebook as Chris Chadwick, our Hall County Cookers Competition Barbecue Team. I do have the Wednesday night show on Barbecue Superstars right here, same barbecue channel, 6 o'clock Central Time on Wednesday evenings. And I want to give a shout-out to my sponsors real quick, real fast, Blues Hog Barbecue Sauce, Green Mountain Grills, Grill Grate, Meat Rake, Maverick Industries, Danny Kugel, Pit Bulls Up and Smoke Barbecue School. Got to give him a shout-out because that is an awesome school. And, of course, Barbecue Superstars and DarylMass.com. It's an awesome family to be a part of. Lance, thank you so much for having me on, and we'll talk soon, brother. Have a good night.
You too, buddy. You too. Well, guys, we've reached another night. We've made it through it, and I said we're going to have a big contest this next weekend. As a matter of fact, it's getting close to everybody having their qualifiers for the jacket stuff. I think we've got two more weekends, and that's all over with, but I enjoyed it. I'll give a shout out. You guys can find me on Facebook under West Texas Pitmasters. You can come by and see my page. You can find me under Lance Moore on Facebook. Or you can come to our website, www.westtexaspitmasters.com. I'd also like to go out and give a shout out to all of our sponsors, too. Oak Ridge Barbecue, Michael Trump, and Greg Products. I mean, we've been hitting all year, and just can't say enough about that. Our newest sponsor, Pit Masters Depot. Y'all get online, check him out. He's got some specials on Smoke Q right now. And he's got some of the best shipping, or the best shipping that you can find out there right now. Give Zach and Jay a holler. Like I said, we'll have some links up on our website here soon for everybody. Meat Rake, man, just a great product. If you need to pull some pork, or you need to, you know, even if you want to pull brisket or pot roast or whatever, I mean, it's a great product to use. Give them a shout out. You can find them on Facebook. Grill Grates, Brad Barrett. There's probably not a better way to cook a steak out there, so give them a shout out. You can find them on Facebook under Grill Grates. 82's Barbecue. Man, Jason out there, he's got some great barbecue sauces, stuff like that. Look him up. You can find him under 82's Barbecue on Facebook. Give him a shout-out. Great stuff. Big Ron's Rubs. Man, it's got a killer beef injection and several other things that he's got out there. I mean, it's just awesome. And so give him a shout out and, great stuff. POT Energy Services, Brandon and Jennifer Spaulding, big supporters of West Texas Pitmasters. Great people. They're out of Midland, Texas. And thank them for all their support. Texas Web and Graphic, Paul Lawrence, if you need business cards or banners or anything of that nature, give him a shout-out. He's in Lubbock, Texas. Great guy. Do anything in the world for you. I think that's it. I think we've got everybody. And, I appreciate everybody being sponsors of West Texas Pitmasters, and we couldn't do it without y'all. And thanks for all your support, and thanks for all of our listeners and stuff supporting us. And, Daryl Mass, once again, without Daryl Mass, we wouldn't be doing this, and the Barbecue Superstars and Blog Talk Radio. I mean, he had the vision to start this, and, I mean, it's been great. So, give Daryl a shout-out. And everybody have a good night. We'll see you next Sunday night. And everybody have a good night. Thank you. Good night.